Chapter 15. On the River. On Wednesday morning, Herbert and Startop rowed me to where Magwitch was staying. Magwitch was waiting for us and got into the boat in his heavy coat and with his bag. We did not see anybody watching us. We were all nervous, but Magwitch seemed the least nervous of all of us.
"I'm glad to be a free man," he told us. "I can be happy in any country if I'm free."
"You'll be perfectly free in a few hours," I told him.
"I hope so."
We planned to row down the river all day, then find a pub and stay the night where the wide river ran into the sea. We knew that a ship to Hamburg was going to come down the river at about 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. We could row out to the ship and ask them to take us to Hamburg. Herbert and Startop rowed until the sun began to go down. We watched the side of the river now, because we wanted to find somewhere to stay, but we saw no houses. As it started to get dark, we all felt that someone was following us, although we could not see any boats behind us. Finally, we saw a light on land and found a rough pub. After a meal, we sat by the fire and talked to the landlord. He said he had seen another boat with 5 or 6 men in it.
"Who do you think they are?" we asked.
"I don't know," said the landlord. "Perhaps the police."
We were all worried now. Magwitch went to bed and the three of us wondered what to do. We decided to stay where we were and continue with our plan the next day. We saw the Hamburg ship at about 1:30 the next afternoon and rowed out into the middle of the river. We needed the ship to see us and stop to pick us up. Magwitch and I got our bags ready and shook hands with Herbert and Startop. Suddenly, a boat rowed out towards us. It pulled up beside us and the 6 men in it looked at us.
"You've got a criminal in your boat," said one of the men. "A man called Magwitch. I'm arresting him and you must help us."
The Hamburg ship was now very close to us, and I could hear shouting as the men on the ship tried to stop it from hitting us. Another man from the police boat suddenly jumped into our boat, took hold of Magwitch, and started fighting him. I realised that it must be Compasson. Then the Hamburg ship hit our boat, and we were all in the water. The men in the police boat quickly pulled Herbert, Startop and myself into their boat and we all started looking for Magwitch and Compasson. After a few minutes, Magwitch swam towards us. He was pulled onto the boat and shackles were put on him. Magwitch had been hit by the Hamburg ship and was in pain. We could not find Compasson. Magwitch told me that he and Compasson were fighting when the Hamburg ship hit them and he went under the ship. Magwitch had cut his head and his chest and looked very badly hurt. We were taken back to London on the police boat. Magwitch was very uncomfortable and he was finding it difficult to breathe. I told him I was sorry that it was because of me that he was so badly hurt.
"Don't worry about me," he said. "I've seen you as a gentleman, and I'm happy with that. But when I'm taken to court, don't tell them that you know me, or it won't look good for you."
I realised that Magwitch was a better man than me. He was grateful to me, but I had been very ungrateful to Joe. "I won't leave you," I told him. "You've looked after me, and now I'll look after you." In London, Magwitch was sent to prison. He was to appear in court in a month. I talked to Jaggers, and he told me that there was no hope. Magwitch had come back from Australia, and he must be hanged. Compeyson was dead already. They had pulled his body out of the river a few days after the accident. 3 days later, I talked to Herbert.
"I'm sorry, Pip," he said, "but I must leave for Egypt this week. I'm marrying Clara before I go. Have you thought about what you'll do?"
"I don't know yet," I said.
"In Egypt," said Herbert, "I'll need someone to help me. Could you do that? Clara and I have talked about it."
"Thank you, Herbert," I said. "It's very kind of you. Can you give me 2 or 3 months to think about it?"
"Certainly."
I met Wemmick on the stairs to my apartment.
"This is a bad business, Pip," he said, "and all Magwitch's money will disappear now. You'll never see it."
"I'm more worried about Magwitch than the money," I said.
"Of course," said Wemmick, "but there's no hope for him, I'm afraid."
Magwitch was in the prison hospital, and I saw him every day. He got weaker and weaker. Finally, he came to court, and Jaggers did his best, but it was not enough. He could not stop Magwitch from being hanged. While he was waiting to die, I still visited Magwitch every day. On the last day, I could see that he was very weak, and I sat on his bed to talk to him. "Magwitch," I said, "there's one thing I must tell you. You had a daughter. She didn't die. She's living now, and she's rich and very beautiful, and I love her." He took my hand and kissed it. Then his head fell back, and he was dead. I fell very ill after Magwitch died, and I could not move from my bed. I remember a lot of men coming to my apartment because I owed them money. I could not pay my debts, and I was worried that I was going to be sent to prison. Then, one day, feeling weak but a little better, I saw a man sitting at the window of my room. It looked like Joe.
"Is it Joe?" I asked.
"It is, Pip."
"Joe, tell me how ungrateful I am," I said. "I never come to see you, and now you're helping me."
Joe sat down next to me and hugged me. There were tears in his eyes.
"How long have I been ill?" I asked.
"Several weeks, Pip."
"And have you been here all the time?"
"I came as soon as I heard you were ill."
Joe told me that I must not talk too much yet. He sat down at the table and started to write a letter to Biddy.
So, Biddy had taught Joe to write.
We talked a little more later, and I asked about Miss Havisham.
"I'm sorry, Pip," he told me. "She died."
"Poor woman," I said after a moment.
"And what happened to her house and her money?"
"Most of it went to Miss Estella," said Joe. "But she left £4,000 to her cousin, Matthew Pocket." This made me happier. I had done something good, I felt. "And there's also news of Orlick," said Joe. "He's in prison. He broke into Pumblechook's house and stole some money."
Joe and I spent several happy weeks together as I got stronger and stronger. Then, one morning, he was gone, leaving this note behind.
"I think it's time for me to go. I don't want to be in your way, and you'll do very well without me. Don't worry about your debts. They're all paid. Joe."
After Joe had left, I thought about him and how grateful I was to him. I thought about Biddy too. I decided I must go down to the village and ask Biddy to marry me. I could stay there and work at the forge with Joe or find another job. I waited 3 more days and then felt well enough to go.